I know like a lot of people in our community, especially who are just starting their businesses or starting their businesses from scratch for whatever reason, you know, I think there's this mentality that you have to work 24/7. And I think that is such an old way to think about entrepreneurship. Like, I don't think that anyone needs to work 16-hour days. And I don't think that that makes you become successful. Like, the more hours you put in, the more you get out. Like, I think there's a really good way to work smart and not hard.
Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Holy smokes. Welcome to episode 209. Today on the Anthropology Podcast, we are talking about a subject matter that is particularly important to me personally, and that is the idea and notion of leadership. I've said for a very long time that I believe that there is a significant deficit of leadership in our world, in our country, in our communities right now. And I believe that entrepreneurs are in a very unique position to step into that role. Joining me in this conversation is Dani Kagan. And Dani is the co-founder of City Moguls. She is a woman who pulled me desperately outside of my own comfort zone when she invited me to walk down the runway at one of her events. Dani is a dancer. I am not. It created this tremendously awkward situation for myself, but one that is so memorable for me. I now know that I can be in the most uncomfortable situation imaginable and still survive, which is a huge part of leadership. It's knowing the outcome, knowing how you're going to feel, and doing it anyway. Dani and I had an amazing conversation. We talked about the essence of leaders. We talked about the role of entrepreneurship and leadership and how those two things can come together. And we got into her journey, how they started as an events company, pivoted, curated an incredible community, and launched a membership on the other side. There are so many gems of wisdom jammed into this episode. I'm super excited for you to have a chance to join my conversation with Dani right now. Dani Kagan, welcome to the Anthropology Podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
I'm excited too. And you know, we were saying just before we got started that I've known you for a long time, and we're going to talk about the context around that. But you were speaking on Instagram a few weeks ago around this notion of leadership. And so much of that conversation was directed towards entrepreneurs and your followers. And you got me in this moment where I was feeling this void of entrepreneurial energy and leadership energy coming together. And I feel like there's this really unique opportunity in our world right now for entrepreneurs, not just to step in and stay in their own lane of innovation, but to be really talking about innovation on a societal level. And so I reached out to you and I said, Dani, can we have a conversation about leadership on the podcast? And you jumped at that. And I'm wondering, before we get in, can you give everyone a little bit more of an overview as to who you are, why you are so passionate about this? And then we're going to chart the course for leadership and entrepreneurs.
Of course. Absolutely. By the way, you have an amazing podcast voice. I don't know if anyone has told you that before.
You have a good voice for radio.
Yeah. You also have a good face for TV, but you also have a good voice for radio. Anyway. Yes. I am the co-founder of City Moguls. We are a platform that supports, educates, and connects like-minded entrepreneurs, mainly early stage entrepreneurs who are kind of 0 to 10 years into their business. And I have a co-founder, Victoria Marshman, and we started the community already almost 6 years ago. So COVID has been kind of a blessing in disguise for us. We were mainly an events company. We run the Mogul Awards. It's a big fashion show, which you walked in our very first show, Megan.
That was, I'm going to just throw down before we go any deeper. That was one of the most uncomfortable moments. People are like, when were you most uncomfortable? And I said, being in the City Moguls fashion show is so outside. I'd rather speak to 10,000 people in an auditorium than do that. Gets so thank you for being the person who pulled me out of my comfort zone the most.
That is what we're here for. We just love getting people on a runway when they are not, that is not something that they normally do. So thank you for being a part of that first event in 2016, I think. Yeah, it was a while back. But yeah, that's how our community kind of started. We really wanted to shed a light on innovators, entrepreneurs, great leaders in a unique way, not just kind of, you know, your standard event, but really do it in a fun way that was meaningful for Vic and I, who have a background in the arts and dance and fashion. And we wanted to celebrate these amazing entrepreneurs. So that's how it kind of started. And fast forward to now, we're a community of hundreds, I can say probably thousands of entrepreneurs who lean on each other, support each other, and we run some incredible programs for our community.
And there's a lot of groups that bring together entrepreneurs, and you've done an incredible job of curating a community of go-getters. What makes you different? I know there's so many things, but what, from your perspective, what makes you guys different?
It's so funny you ask that, because we're always trying to figure out what makes us different and why people come to our community versus another community. And this is kind of ties into our talk today about leadership, which at the end of the day, I think it comes down to, you know, does someone like you and like your brand? And, you know, have you created a brand that's warm and welcoming? And I think that's kind of what we've done. We've created a community that's welcoming, you know, enticing, really provides a lot of meaningful value. You know, like, we work really hard on our programming to make sure that the best speakers are at our webinars, and, you know, the most interesting entrepreneurial experts are leading talks. And we just put a lot of effort into it because we actually care about the community and supporting entrepreneurs. So it's not like some radical, crazy thing that differentiates us. It kind of comes down to that human connection.
Well, and you've been really good about curating that human connection and, as I said, cultivating really interesting and compelling people. And I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, I saw you on Instagram that day, you were talking about leadership. And the reason that that struck me is for a few reasons. One, I've been feeling lately like I really want to call on my entrepreneurial compadres to step into higher leadership roles. And higher leadership roles to me is not, you know, telling more people what your achievements are. Leadership is leading by example. And you were sort of creating this call to action around those pieces as well. And so much of my outer dialogue around this happened around the issues with the Capitol back on the 6th of January. But what I've really been feeling for a long time is this conversation with entrepreneurs where they're like, I stay in my lane. I don't pay attention to the news. I'm only obsessed with creating my one product. And I really think that there's an opportunity right now for these people who are inclined to innovate, to step beyond that state and contribute to a broader conversation. And I'm curious, what was compelling you to engage in that conversation? Because it's not a conversation I'm seeing many entrepreneurs have.
Well, I feel like all entrepreneurs are leaders. Like, I think everyone's a leader in whatever they do. Everyone has leadership within them, and it's just about taking action, right? Like, I don't think some people, I do think some people are born natural leaders, but I think that everyone is a leader in their life in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And so
great perspective.
Yeah. Like, I just, and it doesn't need to be something crazy. You don't need to be a leader of a Fortune 500 company, but you can be a leader to, you know, a niece or nephew, or to someone, you know, closer in your circle. So I think it's kind of just tapping into that leadership and kind of exploring what that is. And I was just on this rabbit. I went on a rabbit hole of leadership stuff with one of my favorite women, Brené Brown, who has an amazing podcast that talks about cultivating leadership. And, you know, I was just blown away at the fact that, you know, everyone really does have leadership within them. It's just about how you kind of find that and how you own it. And I think that a lot of people in our community, especially with City Moguls, these entrepreneurs are leaders, and it's just about how they want to convey it. So I kind of just went down this rabbit hole to find out, you know, what makes a leader a leader, and you know, how people are actually leading by example. I actually have on my little board here, I have like a little, I have a little like a board that I write all my tasks on. And I have at the bottom, I have be bold, take risks, and lead by example. So I think it's kind of about that leading by example. And to go back to your point about, you know, not just staying in your lane, I think it's so important for leaders to have a stance on things and to say, I'm going to take this political stance and I'm going to show this with my brand. You know, we had so much going on in the summer about the BLM movement, and mm-hmm. that, you know, brands need to take a stand and brands need to step up. And I think that's what really good leaders do.
100%. And they step outside their comfort zone, which is maybe why you've got so many strong leaders around you, is because it's like, to know Danny Kagan is going to be kicked outside your comfort zone as soon as possible. How would you define leadership?
That's such a hard question. I feel like leadership is being bold and being innovative. And I think that it doesn't need to be much more complex than that. It's people who really, and people who take action. I think there's a lot of people who do a lot of planning, do a lot of talking amongst themselves, and don't take action. And I think the best leaders are people who go out there, take action, fall on their faces, take really big risks, and kind of come out the other side. I think those are always the leaders that I look up to, who have really taken risks and are big risk takers, and are open about their failures and are open about how they've fallen. And, you know, one of the people that I look up to the most is Michelle Romano, and she's super honest about her failures in the past. And I really admire that as a leader. I think that's super important for people, and especially entrepreneurs, to learn from those types of mistakes and see that you can get up and you can still be really successful.
I love that you tacked that on the end, because I doodle while I record podcasts. This is behind the scenes what's happening.
And I love that. I love that.
Every interview. So I'm doodling away here around these B's of being bold and innovative. And then I just wrote beside it, before you even said it, of vulnerability. Mm. And I think one of those key tenets of leadership is having the confidence to also share the things that aren't working. And so I love that you mentioned Michelle in that context, but I think that's where the learning comes from. And that's where the permission to be human is infused for everybody who is part of any given community. What are you looking for right now when you are looking for leaders? And I don't just mean in your immediate life, but like, what are you craving right now on that leadership, on that global stage, when you look outside of what you've created?
You know, I look at people kind of like what I was saying before about taking action. I look for people who are doers. And I think that's so taken for granted. Like, I think people, even just for hiring and for finding teams and for finding good people to collaborate with and that kind of respect, people who are doers. And I think it's really hard to come by sometimes, because there's a lot of people who struggle to kind of step into that and kind of just get things, like people who get things done amaze me. Like, it's so simple, but people who can actually, when you give them something to do and they do it and they go above and beyond, those people are hard to find. And for us as a community, like, and for us as a team, even just for Vic and I, for hiring for our team, like, those are the people that we look for. And those are the people that stay with us, because, you know, we're all so aligned in that way. Does that make sense?
Totally. And, you know, it sort of triggers this thought that simple doesn't always mean easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is usually why we don't necessarily see those things on that. Well, it's just why simple things aren't necessarily pervasive. We're not seeing them everywhere. And that's one of the things that makes, I think, entrepreneurship so difficult is it looks easy on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It looks easy when, you know, you hear someone speak on stage and you're like, I haven't seen you for 3 years. And now 3 years later, you've built this empire. You know, it's this beautiful combination of simple actions, but it's definitely not an easy.
It's not easy. And, you know, we were talking with someone recently and we said we launched our membership program this past June 2020, and we have almost, you know, 75 members now. And someone said, that's amazing, you know, in 1 year. And I said, well, it wasn't 1 year. It was 5 years of building. And it was, right. You know, 4 years of building the brand up to what it is. And a lot of hustling to get to that place to build a brand that kind of resonates with people and cultivates the type of people that we're looking to bring on as members. So it wasn't kind of just an 8-month thing. It's really, it takes a lot of time. And that's the other thing. Patience is so important for leaders. Like, I think a lot of people, like we were saying, is they see things on Instagram and they see things on social and things look really easy, but leaders are really, a good leader is really patient because they know that these things don't happen overnight.
It's great that you mentioned this piece. And one of the things that I think you've done really well in your career is you've leveraged your experiences. So, you know, even with City Moguls and doing events, you really leveraged your background in dance. And then you built a brand and you created these elements and you fully leveraged those experiences and those relationships as you built out your membership. One of the things I hear people talk a lot about in the entrepreneurship space is big shiny object syndrome. So they're like, I'm bouncing, I'm doing this. And then I close that down and I'm doing this. And I close that down, I'm doing this. And one of the common threads that I've seen with individuals who've really been able to build successful brands and platforms is that I'm sure we all suffer. I mean, I suffer from that at times. I'm sure you have and do as well. Mm-hmm. But they're really effective at taking their successes and building them into their next thing. Has that been an intentional strategy on your part?
I mean, I kind of feel like it's just been natural for us to do that because it's like you just do what you know. Like we were competitive dancers and we have a passion for dance and we know how much it moved people. So we're like, of course, we're going to build a fashion show that has dance incorporated into it.
Of course,
you know, like that was that was a no-brainer for us because that's just something we're passionate about. And I think, you know, like, and moving forward too, you know, fast forward to now when we have this community, it's like, we love connecting people. That's our bread and butter. That's something that makes us so happy. So of course we're going to, you know, create this community that, you know, we're the main piece of it is networking because we know how important that is for business. So I don't think it was something we were intentional about, but it's definitely something, you know, we used what we knew and we used what we loved and we incorporated it into it.
Yeah. It's a really key piece. And I don't think it's necessarily intuitive to everybody. So congratulations on creating something and being able to do that. I'd love for you to share a little bit about how you actually built this membership component. Like what are the elements and the pieces on a really brass tacks level that have gone into it? Like, what does that membership look like? What does it include? And I ask this from the perspective of, I know a lot of people who have, as I mentioned, they've built communities or they've been able to create a following and they're not sure how to take that entity and turn it into something that they can monetize while still delivering value. And I think you've done that in such a beautiful way. Can you share a little bit more about it?
Thanks. Yeah. And again, for anyone listening, it's taken time to get there, right? But I mean,
for those in the back, yeah, it takes a while.
It doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. I mean, listen, we actually announced that we were doing a membership program at our final, well, not final, but our last runway show pre-COVID, November 2019. We're like, we're doing a membership program. And we were so excited about it and we had no idea what it entailed, but like we announced it because we were just like, we have to do this. And we never ended up doing anything with it until June of 2020. And I'll tell you why, because we didn't really understand what our community wanted and needed. And I think COVID hit and we said, this is a perfect time to launch a membership program because people need community. And it was kind of a blessing in disguise. Like, obviously, COVID has hit so many so hard. So, of course, it's been difficult. But for us, you know, it was kind of about the timing. And it was perfect because we said, okay, we can really launch things that we know can live virtual and that are really, really meaningful. So, for instance, we launched our mastermind series, Mogul Cruise, which is a hybrid of a 6 to 8 week mastermind program. And it will soon be followed by a mentorship piece, a 6 month mentorship piece. And we wanted to launch that like years ago. And it was perfect timing because we said, this is something that we can do virtually. We've basically eliminated all costs because we don't need to bring people into an event space or anything like that. And, you know, really, really show people that leaning on each other and having that community as a solopreneur, as an entrepreneur is so valuable. So that was a great time for us to launch that type of program. And since then, we've really refined it and iterated to really make it that much more meaningful for people. So we've had already four cohorts of Mogul Cruise. So it's really exciting. And I think that was part of like timing. Timing is everything.
Timing absolutely is everything. And I think it's a really awesome model. It pairs beautifully with this notion and connection to leadership. And I know from that end, and it's a shared passion between you and I, it's this notion of health and mm-hmm. the relationship between health and leadership and health and entrepreneurship. Can you unpack a little bit about what that looks like in your world?
Yeah. And sorry, I didn't even answer your question about membership because I just went on a tangent there. but yeah, we announced that we were going to do our membership. I'll backtrack for a second. Yeah, and then we launched our membership in June. And to answer your previous question, you know, the membership program, we really felt like, you know, putting out different types of programming at that time was going to be so valuable. So we started, and this was just all us doing trial and error, right? Like, you don't just put out a membership program and have it all figured out. So there was a lot of trial and error at the beginning. So we launched the membership program knowing that we would at least give these entrepreneurs access to monthly webinars with expert leaders like you, you know, monthly workshops, really some more things that are like community oriented, like we do meditation stuff and yoga and other kind of more things that are not even entrepreneur related, but they definitely tie into the entrepreneurial lifestyle. They would get access to the mastermind series. So we had all of these things kind of organized based on what we knew entrepreneurs needed at that time. So that's kind of how the membership got started and how we were able to kind of create that membership program and monetize it.
I feel like the most important thing you said there was trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people, and I have this conversation with entrepreneurs all the time, they want to build this thing and it has to be successful. And if it's not successful in its first iteration, they're not sure how they're going to make ends meet. They've put all their eggs in this one basket. And the truth is, there's two layers of truth you spoke to. One is we didn't do this overnight. We had a brand, we built into it, we spoke to our community, and then we put things out there and we watched what they wanted. It's like watching, you know, birds come to a feeder and they're going to eat some things and they're not going to eat others. And then you refine what you feed them the next time around. Mm-hmm. And so this trial and error piece coupled with patience is an imperative for any kind of business that you are going to build. There is rarely a quick win when it comes to entrepreneurship. And I just think it's one of those truths we have to speak about to manage disappointment, but to also manage entrepreneurship as an appropriate tool. It's not, you're not winning the lottery through entrepreneurship.
You're definitely not winning the lottery. And it's funny, like I don't know if any, like everyone should be an entrepreneur. Like I don't know if it's the most, it's the sexiest path for everyone, because it's just that. It's not an overnight thing. You really have to want it. But I think a lot of people like have entrepreneurship within them. So it's just like tying back into what I said earlier. It's like the people who actually go out there and do it and take action and stay on the path, you know, are the ones that succeed the most. And we our whole business is trial and error. Like we just keep trying new things. And I used to pick up the phone at the beginning when we started our mastermind series. I would pick up the phone and ask members and be like, hey, do you want to just give me your quick feedback? And Victoria would do the same thing, call people. Like literally picked up the phone this summer. Like who picks up the phone anymore? I don't know. But we did. And you know, we asked people like, what would you like to see more of in this program? What did you like? What did you not like? And then we iterated from that feedback. And it was so helpful. Like just asking and talking to individual clients, consumers, people in your network and your community who are experiencing your events or whatever you're doing is so underrated. Like I think people want to get a survey of 2,000 people and have, you know, just kind of do whatever they think is the best move. And actually listening to people individually is so important. And it was really helpful.
I'm smiling as you're saying this because people ask me all the time, they're like, well, where do I go to find out what my audience wants? Mm. And I'm usually like, What do you mean? They're like, where do I go? Is there like a website that I can plug in all my demographics of my audience and then they'll tell me what they want? And I was like, or you could just ask them. And it's just this aha moment where like, oh, like you can do that? I'm like, yes, you don't build these products in secret and then launch them. I mean, even Nike and Coca-Cola and these huge corporations with unlimited funds will take their ideal demographic. They'll stick them into cohorts. They'll try things out in them and only the favorites are ever going to make it to market. You have to ask people. There's not a magical place where perfect business ideas go to be born. So I love the truth bombs that you are dropping here. And I do want to segue back to this notion of health, because it's one of those elements. I actually think it's one of the things that people are looking for when they go, oh, this entrepreneurial lifestyle looks sexy. It looks healthy. I don't have this angry boss anymore. I don't have these pieces. But to stay healthy in a state of entrepreneurship where there's a lot of different pressure and responsibility, it requires an ongoing commitment. What does your health and wellness commitment look like in the face of entrepreneurism?
It's a great question. And let me just say for the record, I did work for crazy people like for years. And I think that was also one of the things, by the way, tangent, that pushed me into entrepreneurship as well, is because I was working for very interesting people and very smart people, and some amazing opportunities, by the way, but they were really difficult. And I said to myself at one point, I was like, I just need to work for myself. And I don't think I got, like, I think that there are a lot of people out there that have amazing bosses and have people who like lead by example and, you know, like great leaders to look up to and role models, but I didn't get that experience. And so I think that was part of the reason, and that was part of the reason that pushed me into entrepreneurship. And separately, I sometimes adopt what those leaders did to me in my day to day and with my team. And I have to almost like unlearn what I was taught, because I wasn't taught properly from like great leaders who knew how to mentor, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Sorry, that was a tangent,
but there's a whole phase where there is the unlearning, and it's the same thing with health. I mean, we were raised to talk about health a certain way. We had parents who demonstrated health and self-care to us a certain way, and it may or may not be in a manner that actually promotes strong health and longevity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I do feel like we go through a phase once we've sort of been out in the real world on our own for a little while. And I hate the term real world, but, you know, we've moved out, we've tried things, we've had some experience where there is a constant phase of unlearning while we've been in these highly imprintable phases of life.
Yeah. I worked for a company and my boss, like, and I worked very closely together, and he wouldn't eat all day. And I, obviously you're young and impressionable. And I'm like, well, if he's not going to eat all day, like I obviously don't need to eat all day. And, you know, I sometimes will happen to me while I'm now, you know, running my own business. And I'm like, I have to remember that I can actually take care of myself now and I don't need to do what I was taught. And it's just so funny that I almost took that on, which was something I knew wasn't a good thing for my health. And I feel like now running my own business, I admire it so much. Like I admire people who invest in themselves. Like Victoria and I are both very big believers of like taking screen breaks. Like we put it into our calendars and like making time for lunch. And I love to juice in the morning. And I never did that when I was at some of my old jobs, not all of them. They weren't all crazy, but you know, like I actually take the time to invest in myself because then I'm a better leader. Like I actually show up for my team better. I show up for the community better when I'm like well fed and have meditated and I love stretching and doing yoga in the morning. So I have all these new routines in place that make me an effective leader. And when I don't do them, I notice it. Like I notice when my health is lacking because my work suffers too. It's very integrated.
I feel like the work will always suffer when we don't engage in that self-care piece. And there will be phases as an entrepreneur where you're going to have to be flexible around those routines where you are going to work all day long and you are going to stay up later and you are going to have screen time immediately before bed. But most of the time we've structured our lives and our businesses where that is the exception and not the norm. And when we care for our health, we can handle that. We've got the physiological resilience to be able to manage those pieces. And I used to negotiate with my patients and my entrepreneurs. I'd say, listen, we're in a funding round right now. And my last naturopath just told me I need a new job. And I would say, listen, I will keep you going and alive for the next 4 months while you're doing this. And then you need to move into a state of deep recovery and restoration, and you're gonna be able to execute like a boss. This is untenable to continue the way you are. And what you're saying, exactly to your point, to your entire team, is if you want to be successful in our company, it's at the sacrifice of your own health and self. And that's a dangerous culture to lead.
It is. It's really dangerous. And I know like a lot of people in our community, especially who are just starting their businesses or starting their businesses from scratch. For whatever reason, you know, I think there's this mentality that you have to work 24/7. And I think that is such an old way to think about entrepreneurship. Like, I don't think that anyone needs to work 16-hour days. And I don't think that that makes you become successful. Like, the more hours you put in, the more you get out. Like, I think there's a really good way to work smart and not hard. And I really value my, like, you know, my alone time. I value not being on screen. I value like my hobbies and other activities. I do a Spanish class on Friday morning. So I did like an hour and a half of Spanish, which is completely separate from my day to day. And I value that kind of stuff. And I think that that at the end of the day, it's about what you want. And that is a big part of what I want. And my journey is that I want to have, I hate the word balance because like who has balance? I don't think that's real, but for lack of a better term, like that balance or that flexibility rather. And that's a really big part of who I am. And I know, and we tell a lot of the entrepreneurs in our community that, you know, you have to invest in yourself. And it's such a big part. We're actually reading, we do a book club with our members on Fridays. We just finished it actually. And it's called, it's our members only book club, but we were just reading Atomic Habits by James Clear. I don't know if you've read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's in my Audible.
Yeah. It's so great. And just like, you know, all of the things that he's talking about habits, daily rituals, you know, making time for the things that, you know, are leisurely, it's so important for your business and for your mental health. And I think that's what drives great entrepreneurs as well. Just having that mindset of investing time into themselves, and not everything has to be about work, 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 work.
I'm just going to boldly declare that this is part of the energy of female leadership. And I'm not talking exclusively gender. I'm talking the energy of female leadership. And last week on the podcast, I had Dr. Stephanie Estima, and she has a new book called The Betty Book. And we were just talking about the world constructs that are been historically serving that sort of patriarchal version of leadership. And everything you talked about is the opposite. It's recognizing the rhythms of your day. It's saying, what else is important in my life? It's really this notion of like, how do I have my cake and eat it too? Because I think there's a way of doing that. And I feel like that's the opportunity here for us as female entrepreneurs and leaders. And it's not to say that men don't do it, but I think it is more intuitive for us to say, we want to have all of these pieces. Now, how can I also have a business, as opposed to, I'm going to build this huge business and I can fit these other things in, then that's a bonus, or I'll do it later in life.
Exactly.
And so you can write your own version of the story. And that's the most compelling part of entrepreneurship to me, is that I'm the gatekeeper to my own lifestyle. And if I want to be healthier, I just make the space to be healthier. And if I want to launch something new, I create the space to launch something new. And the only limitation really on any of this is usually my mindset. That's what's so fun.
Yeah, it's about always the mindset. Space.
Right? It's always the mindset piece.
It's always that. That's the thing that's probably the biggest thing that holds me back in general, just mindset. It's so powerful, and it can lead you to great places, and it can hold you back. And I respect the leaders that, you know, say, yeah, I don't work crazy hours. I work, you know, 6 hours a day so that I can spend time with my family and do all these other things. Like, I respect the hell out of that. And I want to model that for my family. You know, I'm about to be a mom. I'm not going to have the same amount of time that I currently do. I'm also trying to start a new business. And, you know, like, I need to understand that as the leader of my own life, I can choose to put in whatever amounts of time that I want to into things that I want to, if that was English. But I think you get the point.
It was there. And, you know, I feel like it's the perfect culmination of this entire conversation, that ultimately leadership starts with self and defining your values and making those happen. And when you have people in your purview, your kids, your husband, your family, and then your community, and then your employees and your broader business and your customers, all of these things start to filter down. But it starts with self, and you have to really be clear on the alignment and truth of yourself if you're going to be an effective leader in your broader community. And you summed that up perfectly.
I think it was English. Thanks. I honestly, and I completely agree with you, by the way, just to go back about, you know, female leadership, like, we're starting to see a lot of incredible female leaders emerge more than ever. And it's so inspiring because, you know, they do have lives. They are running households of kids and spouses and, you know, running a lot of things in their lives and running these businesses. And it's just so inspiring to see that And I know that a lot of people don't believe this, but I do believe you can have it all. And it's just a matter of what you think all is, because it's just really a perspective change. But I see these women all the time who are like you, by the way, who have families and run amazing businesses and make time for the people in their lives. And I'm just like, if there's so many other people that can do it, I can do it too.
You absolutely can. And I feel like this is a perfect place to transition the interview into a series of questions I call our KPIs. So just like we have key performance indicators in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. So
love it.
I've got some questions for you.
Hit me.
First one, Danny, what is the most recommended book that you have in your arsenal or library?
Well, I guess because it's just really fresh right now, but Atomic Habits is just phenomenal. I also love The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I'm about to read Shoe Dog for my next business. So I'm excited about that.
But those nice. I haven't read Shoe Dog yet, but my husband, he's like, it's just going to sit on the table until you pick it up and read it.
Well, someone actually sent it to me for my birthday and I already have a copy. So I'm like, okay, now I have two copies. So I definitely have to read this book. It's just like staring at me. So
yeah, the universe is sending it your way. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite health hack?
My favorite health hack. My favorite health hack. I mean, this is more of a habit. Does that work?
Like that works.
Yeah. I mean, morning stretching. It is the thing that can make or break your day. Like moving in the morning, whatever moving is for you. For me, it's on my yoga mat, but morning stretching, that's just the key.
I hear you on that. I've done Pilates every morning for the last 21 days.
Good for you. That's amazing.
Oh my gosh, I'm a different person.
It is. It's amazing. It's different. Yeah. It changes you.
Yeah. How would you define your purpose?
I think I'm still trying to figure out what my purpose is. But I definitely think that one thing I can say with certainty is connecting people, connecting human beings.
I love that. And it is totally a journey, this purpose piece. Last question for you. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think anyone can learn how to become an entrepreneur. I really do. I really do. I think if you have it in you, if you have the drive, I think anyone can learn how to become an entrepreneur.
I love it. It's just plain and simple and with total conviction. Danny Keegan, where can we send people to learn more about the amazing work you're up to?
Thanks. They can go to citymoguls.com. You can follow us on all of our socials at citymoguls. And you can email me directly, danny@citymoguls.com.
Fantastic. We're going to conclude more information about your membership in our show notes. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here today.
Thanks, Megan. This was amazing.
Thank you for being a part of this amazing conversation. As you know, I view leadership differently. I believe there's an opportunity for us as entrepreneurs to craft our own path. It doesn't have to be hustle. It doesn't have to be a rat race. And the biggest thing that enabled me to see this was the creation of systems in my own businesses. Acknowledging what I wanted to have in my life, how I wanted to practice and work with patients, how I wanted to be spending my time, and where I needed to cut out the slack. I took all of the systems that I used to grow my practice and I embedded it into a program called the Clinician CEO. The Clinician CEO are all of the things that enabled me to transition from hustle to a state of scale. And I'm super excited to give you the opportunity to have access to it. If you've been following along over the last few weeks, you know that we are at the very tail end of making this program available to you. On the evening of February 25th, the doors will close on this program. We are never going to have it issued in this same way again. We have more bonuses than we've ever had before, an entire operating system for running a virtual practice. And for those practitioners out there who are looking for some assistance, who are looking for the play-by-play on how to go from hustle to something that is scalable and in alignment with your audience, I'm going to invite you to check it out. You can head over to theclinicianceo.com. You can link to it from my Instagram page, or you can find it certainly all linked up in our Clinician Business Labs Facebook group. I want to thank all of you again for hanging out with me this week, for talking about leadership, for sticking right to the very end. Next week, I have an amazing conversation coming up with Dr. Tara Guzzo. We are getting into the nitty-gritty of how to build resilience. She is absolutely brilliant. You're not going to want to miss it. A perfect balance between mindset and biohacking. We'll see you again here next Tuesday.